desire your prayers this morning. I'll first introduce myself. Perhaps most everyone knows who I am, but I'm Eugene Cole from the Neosho, Missouri congregation, also known as Butch. And I first want to say I appreciate the opportunity to come out here to West Virginia. And without fail, every time we come out here, it's exceptional hospitality. And we appreciate that. And I know everyone does. So we enjoy our time here. But I have a burden that I've carried for a while. And I want to write the title on the board. So I've written on the board, "Run for Your Life." Now, I'll ask the question, first of all, how many of you all have ever been in a situation or told of a story where someone had to run for their life? Literally. No doubt different ones have had some experiences as such. And sometimes it's as simple as maybe an animal that's rather upset or territorial. And you got to run for your life. Whether, I know some out here are farmers and perhaps dealing with cattle. You can, if you are in the wrong place at the wrong time, such as maybe a mother, a mama cow that's had a baby, a calf, and you get in between the mama cow and the calf, watch out. You might have to run for your life. And there's other animals, no doubt. And maybe there's been situations where someone, another person, is after you and you run for your life. Or maybe it's whatever the case may be. Maybe it's some of Mother Nature, some of its fury. But when you run for your life, what are you actually doing? You're trying to separate yourself from danger and from harm. And not only separate yourself, but you're trying to do it rather quickly. Because you're afraid for your life. So my burden this morning is, it's a warning. It's a warning to all of us for our soul's sake. Now I want to start off with sharing a story. When I was young, there was one particular instance where I ran for my life. And I don't know, out here, it seems like your thunderstorms probably aren't as severe as what we have out in the Midwest, out in Missouri and the plains and Oklahoma, and of course there's tornadoes and what we call electric storms, where it's just like every few minutes or few seconds is just a big bolt of lightning, and it can be rather unnerving. But I remember one time when I was young, I was 12 or 13 years old, and I always liked, since I was really young, I always loved to go out, and when we'd have a big rainstorm and a lot of runoff, a lot of water, I'd love to play in the water. I guess that's just a boy thing. And see how deep it is, you know, and just try to make little channels and reroute the water and in the ditches or in the field or whatever. And so I remember I was a little older at this time, and you would think maybe old enough to know better, but I remember after a thunderstorm, it was a summer thunderstorm, and my mom had mentioned she knew that I was probably going to go out and, you know, play around out in the field. There was a big river of water running through the field, and the ditches were full. And she's like, "Son, it'd probably be better if you just wait a little while." I'm like, "No, this is when the water, you know, this is when it's fun." I'm thinking, "No, I want to go now." So she gave a word of caution, but I went on anyway. And so I'm playing out in the field, in the little river there, and then I come over to the fence that bordered our gravel road, and I crossed the fence and over the deep water in the ditch there, and I was kind of playing around, poking with it as I was crossing. But within just a few seconds, maybe 10, 15 seconds, after crossing the barbed wire fence, there was a feeling that I don't know how to explain, but literally the hair raised up on the back of my neck, and I could just feel tension in the air. I'm like, "What's happening?" And I turn around just in time to hear and see a bolt of lightning strike the fence right where I just crossed. And I was at that time maybe 10 feet, 15 feet away from it. And I'll tell you this. There was never a time that I ran so fast and so hard and was so scared. In fact, it seemed like just in a few seconds, I was back up at the house, which is probably maybe a little less than a quarter mile down the road, up our driveway, up to the house. And the next thing I know, I'm up at the back porch and I'm looking back down where I was at and thinking, how did I get here? I was so scared. I just knew another bolt of lightning was going to come and strike me dead. But it was one of those instances that I'll never forget. And thinking back on it, at the time, I was just so scared. It was like, I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I was just like numb and just like, I just about died. But to think of, you know, and scientifically, if you analyze it, it's just not a safe thing to do. Now, the thunderstorm had already passed, but yet there were still some lingering things in the air, and that's what happened. And since then, I've heard others say that, yeah, you just to play it safe, you just don't get out in the wide open. And that's where I was at. I was baiting some more lightning strikes, basically. And having said that, I remember when my mom told me, you know, be careful out there, son. It wasn't too long before that one of our cows was actually struck by lightning. And it wasn't because they were out in the middle of a field necessarily, but they were underneath the tree. But the tree was a target. A tree was out in the middle of the field and the cows were under the tree and the cow died. And also, there were other things that I remember a story my grandma told. And so all this came back to me after the fact. But my grandma told a story of one of her acquaintances years ago. She was killed by lightning. She was sitting underneath the tree. And again, it wasn't a severe storm. It was perhaps after a storm. And she was just sitting out under a tree. And she had those old leather lace-up boots. And as the story goes, it actually knocked the boots off of her and killed her. And so I had all these things. And then I had my own close call. And it's like, okay, this is real. This is a real threat here. And so ever since then, I've, of course, warned my own boys and others that you don't trifle with that. You protect yourself. Be wise. Don't go out in the field right after a rainstorm, a thunderstorm, because you never know what can happen. Well, when you consider, again, this little incident, there was something about that fear and that surprise, yet I had been warned. So think about this for a little bit. If when the lightning struck, my immediate reaction, it wasn't to go out in the field again. It wasn't to go out near a tree. It wasn't to run to the neighbor's house necessarily, but it was to run home. Because that's where safety was. That's where I knew I would be safe, to run back home. So having considered that this morning, I want to read a scripture in Proverbs 18 and 10. There is something about the safety of the Lord. Running from danger. Proverbs 18. Verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And you think about the name of the Lord. That means that the Lord owns something. He is the supreme power of something. Okay. And you think about my situation. I ran home because I knew I was going to be safe there. And you think about the Lord. If He owns something and He is the supreme power there. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, what better place to run than to run to the Lord? When you feel alarmed, when you're scared for your life, when you're running for your life, run to the Lord. Now, I want to dig down a little deeper here. And I want to read some more scriptures in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 14. And I want to start by saying this. The devil knows that we all have a valuable soul. And the scriptures talk about that he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour every single one of us this morning. It doesn't matter if we're saved, unsaved, sanctified. It doesn't matter how long we've lived for the Lord. I've shared this before, and I want to say this again. My grandfather, Brother Thomas Vada McMillan, I remember him telling me, even when he was up in years, he's like, son, he's like, the devil's still after me hot. He's hot on my trail. He's like, in fact, it's as if I have to pray harder in his old age to maintain and to keep what he had and to resist the devil and to flee from his traps, okay, and to run to the Lord. But you consider that we all have an enemy of our souls, and he's going to try in every way he can to destroy us. But I want to tell you something, dear ones. We can resist that. We have a place we can run to for refuge, for safety, and that is to the Lord. But in the meantime, we have to separate ourselves from Satan, from the wiles of the enemy, from the traps, from things that he would love just to snatch us out in eternity like that, without being prepared to go. So having said that, I want to read some scriptures here in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians 10 and 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, I want to just stop and consider for a moment here. Idolatry. That's gods, other gods, other than the one and only supreme God. You realize those things, simply put, it's anything that would consume us. Now, this is for the young and the old alike. Okay. Excuse me. Do you realize, yes, the young have natural tendencies to be attracted to gadgets, things, whatever, to entertain, to fulfill, to take up their time. But do you realize even the older ones can be consumed with things too. The other things can be their gods, as in they can fantasize about things as well. They can dream and have these great ambitions to accomplish something, and it consumes them to where they neglect their families, they neglect their own souls, and something becomes their god. It could be their job. Excuse me. It could be as simple as a job, a career, or a position in whatever facet of life. But something that consumes us, something that becomes first in our life, in place of God. We've been hearing some about that in this meeting. And yesterday morning, a sister, that we need to seek the Lord. Excuse me. Pray for my voice. But you consider, it says flee from idolatry. That means you run for your life. That means you don't trifle with those gods. That means you don't linger and just hang around and say, well, it's really not that bad. No, you better run for your life. Because if anyone knew, Apostle Paul knew, he's the one that was writing this to those in Corinth. He knew what those other gods were like. He knew that they could consume, and you know what? He found himself consumed. If you could say, he thought he was serving God, but yet he was consumed with that power and that authority persecuting the church. And he was consumed with that. That was his God, you see. And there's many other things that could be, but it was a warning. He said, flee from those things. Run for your life. Well, I want to read another one. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Let's go back just a few chapters here. 1 Corinthians 6. 6 and 18, it says, flee fornication. That can go pretty deep. And I don't endeavor to focus on that for a long period of time this morning. But flee fornication. Simply adultery. And Jesus spoke about that. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount? That it was more than just the physical adultery. But it was committing adultery in your heart. Desiring things, longing for things that were not for you. And you know, in the day and age we live in now, the devil has made it so easy and it's so prevalent of things out there to lure men and women, children, it doesn't matter, to lure anyone away from their God-given companion or future companion, and to get them so confused and so perverted in their mind and in their understanding of the purity of a godly marriage. It says, flee fornication. What that tells me is, when Satan presents a temptation, when Satan presents himself in a whatever form or fashion that you detect there's some potential danger here, don't just sit there and ponder that. And don't sit there and consider and say, well, is it really that bad? No, I encourage you, flee. Don't trifle with sin. Don't trifle with the traps and the allurements of Satan. Because I'm going to tell you what, if it's just us versus Satan one on one, we're going to lose every time. He's much more superior in his cunning, his craftiness, his deceit. He's going to lure you down a path where that's not so bad. And then, well, that's not so bad here. And before you know, you're going to wake up and you'll be struck by lightning. It'll kill you. The wages of sin is death, dear ones. In this fornication, there's so much more that could be said about this. But it's a warning, folks. And it doesn't matter how long we've been serving the Lord. Satan knows that if he could find a soft spot somewhere in our heart, and in our desires, and in our longings, and then he'll work with that. And he'll present another opportunity. He'll present another temptation. But it says here, flee fornication. Keep yourself as far away from those things as you can. Don't allow yourself to be in the same company as someone that speaks about these things loosely. And that can go in many directions. The music that you can listen to, yes. It speaks freely of adultery, fornication. The music of the world, that is. But there's a spirit behind it. There's a reason why people find comfort in those type of songs. It's, oh, I can relate to so-and-so because they... Is that a good thing? No, those are things we should flee from. Should we have compassion and consider folks and pray? Yes, we need to consider folks in those situations and pray for them and do what we can to help them out. But don't linger there. Don't stay in that company and talk about those things where it becomes so casual that, well, everybody does it. And it's really not that bad. No, that's desensitizing yourself. Flee from those things. It's a warning, folks. Another one. 2 Timothy 2. In 22a. First part of it here. What we're going to focus on. Flee also youthful lust. Just consider that for a moment. You realize, Paul, again, he's writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young minister, a young man at this time. Paul was a little older, trying to give him some wise counsel. And I want to extend this to the young folks here this morning. Flee also youthful lust. There's a wide variety of things we could mention here too. But I want to summarize it this way. Lust being the carnal pleasures. The things that you long to, in the flesh, to participate in, to indulge in, that can be damning to your soul. And you don't realize it at the time. But that's why we've been hearing about it in this meeting too. We have parents, grandparents, ministers, Sunday school teachers, those that understand how Satan works, those that understand the power of God that can deliver you from those things. But it's saying, flee also youthful lust. Yes, that can include the sensual desires, but it can even go beyond that. It can go to the desire for the fame, the recognition, to be puffed up, the pride of, oh, look who I am. Look what I can do. Look how intelligent I am. And that I can debate and reason with you. Whatever it is, that to be lifted up in pride. And it can be even a temptation for power and authority. And again, he's addressing Timothy here as a young minister. But you know, even in just speaking with the young people here this morning, he says, flee youthful lust. He didn't say, consider. He didn't say, study. You understand what I'm saying here? Don't try to figure out all the little intricate things. A lot of times the best advice is just flee. Just get away. You can't handle it on your own. Just separate yourself from that. Say, Lord, I don't need any of that anyway. Flee from it. And you know what happens? When you do that, you actually are leading by example. And others are going to see, oh, they fled from that. If they can flee from that and they sense danger, maybe I should too. You see how that happens? You remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis? He was sold as a slave. His brother sold him. And he ended up as working in Potiphar's house there. And you remember what happened when Potiphar's wife enticed him. What did Joseph do? Did he try to reason with her and just like, well, now wait just a second. You realize my position. And you realize how this wouldn't go so well. He didn't linger there, folks. He didn't try to reason with her and reason with himself, saying, well, we'll just draw some lines here and I think we'll be okay. I think we can handle this. That's not what Joseph did, folks. He ran. He ran from her. He ran from the house so quickly that it tore his garment as he left. You know what that tells me? There was a vehement desire to get as far away from her as he could. And he did it quickly. And he acted in a way that he was running for his life. Because he knew the dangers. He knew the traps. That could, in the end, call for his life. But God had a higher purpose, a higher calling for him. God didn't want him to trifle with that either. But the amazing thing was, his way of escape was he had to take the action himself. And you know, Satan many times would like us to, we'll just revert back to this concept again. Sometimes when you're frightened, it's like you just lock up. Have you ever had that happen before? But let me tell you, there comes a time, going back to the story of this lightning, I didn't lock up. My legs found a way to move. And they moved very quickly. And let me say, I had a stick in my hand. I don't know what else I was doing, but I dropped everything. There was nothing that was going to distract me or detain me along the way, like looking at another stick or another rock or some little bird or a dog down the road. No. I was going home and nothing was going to stop me. Ran as fast as I could for the sake of my own life. You know, that's what Joseph did. He ran for his life. You know, there's a song. I don't know all the words to it, but I remember this part. You better run for your life, my brother. There comes a time in everyone's life that And everyone has different backgrounds, different understandings, different temptations, different personalities. But we all know, I had already been warned about going out there in that field and even crossing a fence. Don't go out there. I'd already been warned. And you know, each and every one of us, God is faithful to send us warnings. And many times, it's more than once. It may be through a message. It may be through a testimony. It may be through scriptures. It may be through your parents or your grandparents or your guardians. That they may give you a warning once, twice, three times. But if we pass it off and say, it won't happen to me. You know, I've heard people talk about that, just about lightning in particular, saying, what are the chances of being struck by lightning and dying? You know, there's people that they've testified that they've been struck by lightning two or three times and they survived. That's amazing. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to risk it. Do you want to risk it? Because there's also the other side of the story of people that have died. Animals that have died by being struck by lightning. So do you want to risk that? Are you willing to trifle with the temptations and with the sins and the allurements of the enemy and of the world, saying, you know, it's really not that bad. What are the chances? You know, it doesn't matter even if it's just a 1% or 2% chance. It can still be deadly and it can happen just like that. Why risk? Why take the chance? Flee from those things. Run from those things. Again, you consider what fleeing is. We've read several scriptures here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Timothy. Talk about fleeing. When you flee something, it's simply shunning or trying to escape. In other words, you take action. And sometimes it has to be physical. Other times it may be mentally. Other times it may just be your eyes. It may be your hands, your feet, whatever. But you flee those things. You refrain. You shun. You escape. I want to read another scripture here in James, the 4th chapter. And this gives us some very good wisdom and advice Brother James had here. In James, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8, there is a tool here. There is a key to escaping, to fleeing from Satan and from his traps, from the wiles of the enemy. And in James, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I like that better. But there's a key to it here. Submit yourselves to God. In other words, run to Him for safety. Like I ran all the way down the road and up the driveway and up on my porch to my house. I felt safe there. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Now, here's another key here. Submitting yourselves to God would follow up with this verse 8. Draw nigh to God. In other words, you stay as close to the Lord as you can. Stay in the safety of His pavilion, in His home, in His sanctuary, where the presence of the Lord is. I mean, honestly, think about this, dear ones. When you think of the temple and the tabernacle back in the Old Testament days, when truly the presence of the Lord was there, do you think there was ever any worry of the priest when they walked in there to the tabernacle or to the temple? And especially when they went into the holiest of holies. Do you think there was ever any concern for some enemy army or soldier to come in and attack them and to kill them? Do you think there was ever any concern of that? No. Because that's where the presence of the Lord is. And they knew that there was safety there. They knew that that's where God dwelt. And sin and wickedness cannot dwell in the same place where God dwells. You see? There's no room for it. And dear ones, if you consider that and relate that to our own temples, our body, That we are the temples of the living God. That the presence of the Lord, His Spirit, wants to be in our hearts and in our lives and in our souls. And if we are drawing nigh to God and we're filling ourselves with the Lord and submitting ourselves to His will and His Spirit, guess what? There's no room then for the devil. There's no room. It's like, I don't need that. I don't need that. And even if it's coming, I don't want that. I'm going to flee from that. You see? There's no desire for that. But it comes by submitting yourselves to the Lord and drawing nigh. It says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh to you. What a wonderful thought. That we do our part, and God's going, this is a promise. He will be faithful to do His part, to draw nigh to us. You remember the story of Christian and Pilgrim's Progress? And he got to a point there where he was being tempted. He was being told to not go forward, that it's not worth it. You can't make it. But you know what he did? He put his fingers in his ears and he ran. And he said, life, life, eternal life. And ran towards a celestial city. Knowing that his own soul was at stake here, that if I don't take some action, if I linger here long enough, I might actually hear some of those voices, and I might be influenced to hang around there and ultimately lose my soul. But no, he realized, I must run. This is the time to run and plug my ears. And if I could, put on blinders on the side and run towards the celestial city. That was where the safety was. That was his end destination. And dear ones, we have to do the same with our own lives and with our own hearts to realize there are times in life that we have to put on, we can put in earplugs, we can put these blinders on and stay focused, say, oh Lord. You know, I remember different times Brother Ed Wilson would tell us, he would say, I'm desperate to make it to heaven. You know, when a person is desperate, you can hardly stop them. Just think about that. When I was running back to the house after that lightning bolt struck, and folks, let me tell you, it was so vivid. When I turned around, and I had already been having this, it gives me chills just retelling the story this morning, to know what sensation was going on in my body, the electricity, and I turned around and saw that blue bolt of lightning hit that fence post, and it was metal fence post and barbed wire. And just to think, that could have been me. And I'd already been warned, don't trifle with that. And I ran so hard and so fast. I was desperate to get out of there. Do you realize we will have to do the same for our own souls? The Scriptures talk about the prophecies, and many different writers talk about the end of times. How much more difficult, how many more temptations and the challenges that we will have to face. That the onslaughts, because the devil is desperate too. He's desperate to destroy us, to consume us, to devour us. But we must equally be just as desperate to run from him, to flee from him. And you consider, again, what Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. Do you know what the end of that story was? He made it. He made it. You know, that gives me hope. You remember the end of the story of Joseph? He made it. He survived that. But it's because he took his own initiative. Albeit, yes, God gave him the strength. God gave him the grace. And you consider Apostle Paul. He had all kinds of things, in fact. Remember when he was on the road to Damascus there? He was on a mission. He had some desires of his own. But he was working for the other master. But the real master, his Heavenly Father, paid him a visit. And we heard about last night doing a U-turn. Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, he did a U-turn there. And dear ones, do you know what he proved with his life? that he ran for his life, spiritually speaking. Okay? He ran for his life. He didn't hang around the same friends that he hung around before. And the same ones that convinced him to persecute the church. Do you think he hung around and asked their opinions and their advice and listened to their stories? No. He found some new company. He hung around, ultimately, acquainted himself with Jesus' disciples. I want to tell another story. And this takes it to another level. You realize there are times that you feel like you can't get away from something quick enough, but you're trying. And you've made up your mind and like, I'm determined and I want to leave that behind. I want to tell you a story that's very vivid in my mind this morning because it happened not too long ago. But it proves the same point. Once you make your mind up, and by the grace of God, you can resist the devil. And you can keep walking on. And you can walk away from the temptations of the enemy. So I had an incident recently, in recent months. I had to take one of my vehicles in to get worked on. And so I drove it to work, and they said, yeah, you can just drop it off over lunch or earlier in the day. And I can pick it up at the end of the day. And I'm like, okay, that works fine. So I drove it there to their facility that morning. Well, they didn't have anyone to take me back to work, but it wasn't too far, so I was able to just walk back to the plant there. And as I'm walking down these little streets, I checked, you know, there was different little routes I could get there. And so I'm walking by this house, and it was kind of in a rough neighborhood, kind of run down and tall grass and around the fence, chain link fence. And as I'm walking by, all of a sudden, a barrage of barking and growling of just all kinds of dogs in their yard. Thankfully, behind the fence, it startled me at first, of course. It's no big deal. They were behind the fence. I was safe. It was okay. So I walked on to work. No big deal. Well, then later, at the end of the day, I had to walk back. And foolish me, I walked by the same house. I could have went another route. I'm like, well, it was okay the first time. It'll be all right this time. I walk by the same house. The same barrage of barking takes place. And I was anticipating, but yet it still startled me. And believe me, I've been around dogs my whole life. I've always had a dog, enjoyed dogs. And I've had to deal with some unhappy dogs before. But as I'm walking by the house, everything seemed to be fine. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I catch some movement. I'm like, what's that? A dog had gotten out. And it was quickly approaching me. It was looking at me as I look back. I'm like, okay. And you know how they say different people have different advices that they can give in these type of situations. But what I've heard some folks say is, a dog that is quiet and quickly approaching you is generally not a good thing. If they're barking and just kind of, you know, dancing around and, well, it's just a bluff. This dog, I believe, meant business. It wasn't growling, but it wasn't smiling either. You know when a dog is smiling. They're wagging their tail, and this dog wasn't doing that. And it was a full-grown dog. I believe it was a boxer. So they can be ferocious if trained to be so. And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, well, I didn't have anything in my hands. I had my cell phone. What good would that do? And there was no sticks or rocks around. Nothing to defend myself. Nothing but the wide open street. And I'm like, I can't outrun this dog. So I just kept walking and just tried to ignore it. Well, it kept following me and it kept getting closer. I'm like, this is not it. And again, I had this little hair-raising experience because I'm thinking, this is fixing to get serious here. Unfortunately, I didn't have my work boots on, which were steel-toe boots, which would have been a nice weapon. I just had my tennis shoes on. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I just kept walking. I kept looking back and it's getting closer. And all kinds of things are flashing through my mind. Maybe I should just take off running. I'm like, no, because sometimes that will actually draw more attention and they might for sure attack you. But then you consider, I walked by his yard. It was his territory, okay? So he's doing the natural thing. He's protecting his area. Well, he was all right, and I'm leaving. But I couldn't leave fast enough. I increased my pace, and he increases his pace. He's getting closer and closer. I'm like, I don't know what to do. But the main thing, and this is just a little word of advice here, I also considered turning around and confronting the dog. But again, I didn't have much to defend myself. Okay? So I thought, you know what? The best thing is I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep increasing my pace. If I run, it might stir up too much, but I'm just going to keep walking. And you know what? Soon after I got past his part of the block and was fixing to pass another house, I turned around and he just stopped. I'm like, whew, I made it. Can you imagine what I have to tell my boss if I would have got attacked by a dog? But I've considered that many times, just thinking back over that. And you know, sometimes in life, we can sense danger. We can sense that this is not right. And sometimes you really don't know what to do. Dear ones, my best advice to you is just keep moving on. Keep separating yourself. Keep walking on. Don't turn around and try to reason with the enemy. And given this situation, I would have loved to have ran. But I don't know that it would have been the best thing to do. But at least I kept walking on. And I increased my pace. I'd made up my mind already. I'm not going back there. I'm getting out of here. And you know, sometimes in life, you may find yourself in a very unusual situation, a very uncomfortable situation, and you don't know what to do, and you're praying to the Lord for wisdom. I want to tell you, dear ones, just keep walking on. Don't pause, and don't turn around, and don't try to reason with what you're running from. And maybe you can't physically run at the time. Maybe you are exhausted. Okay? You know, Satan loves, there's a scripture in Daniel talking about him wearing out the saints. And you know, sometimes in the battles of life, you are weary. Perhaps you're weary of running for your life from danger, from harm, from this person, from that situation, from the enemy over here. And you're just weary and you don't know what to do. I want to tell you, dear ones, just keep walking on. Keep trying to separate yourself and you make up your mind that no matter what, as Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. You keep pressing. You keep walking. And if you can, yes, you can run. If you have to crawl, you keep separating yourself from the world. You keep separating yourself from the enemy and draw nigh to God. Draw near to Him and submit yourself to Him. Say, Lord, I can't make it any further. Then you know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come on the scene and He'll fight for you. When you have done your best and you've done everything you know to do, the Lord will come on and He will make a difference. He's the difference maker, dear ones. There's another song that says, let me try to think of it. Talks about when Jesus comes on the scene, the devil trembles and the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. I want to share another quick story here. Just recently, Sheila and I were leaving the house and we were driving up our road. And just out of the blue, off to the side, we see this bird, a large bird, and it was a hawk. Just all of a sudden swooped down. We're like, it was right there at the edge of the road where we were coming up on it. And he comes up out of the grass, out of the ditch, and he has this little rabbit. And its clutches, and its claws. It's about a mid-sized rabbit. But as we rounded that curve, I believe it startled the rabbit and the hawk especially. And that hawk let loose of that rabbit. And that rabbit just scampered off to live another day. But I thought of that. You know, when I came around that curve, we were in a big vehicle. And I believe it spooked because the hawk was focused on the little prey, focused on that rabbit. The hawk didn't see us coming. We pop around because there's brush and everything around the corner. We pop around that corner and it startles him. And he drops the rabbit. And he had to flee. You know, that's what the Lord will do for us. Even if we feel like the devil's hot on our trail and we can feel the clutches of his claws hot on our back. And that little rabbit, I believe, was trying to run for his life. But here came the hawk and was overpowering that little rabbit. But when we rounded that curve, it scared that hawk. And it had to flee. You know, that's just what the Lord wants to do for you and I. We do our best. We keep walking on. We run as we can. We fight as we can. We resist the devil. But when we submit to him and we run to him for safety, he's going to do his part to protect us and to defend us to live not just another day. He wants to do this on an eternal basis, dear ones. I mentioned the story of Joseph, Apostle Paul, and many others. They lived. They survived. God used them. And we read about these stories now. And it's inspiring and encouraging to us. You know what, dear ones? We all have the same capability with our own individual lives. I mentioned earlier, if you see someone else running from danger, you're going to follow suit. And you know how encouraging it is to see others that are trying to live for the Lord. And we come to these meetings, we hear the testimonies, we enter into conversations, and when we share one with another about the battles we've been faced with. And we survive the attacks of the enemy, and we're still walking on, we're still pressing on, we're running for our lives, and we share that one with another, and it encourages us. It encourages someone else. Inspires them saying, well, if they can run, if they can defeat the enemy that by doing that, I'm going to do it too. You know, that's what these meetings are all about. Encouraging one another. Getting help to our souls. Having the Lord reveal, perhaps, some traps of the enemy in our lives. Or in others' lives. So we know how to pray for them. We know how to fight for them. But dear ones, the encouraging thing is, we can make it. Just like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he made it to that celestial city. Oh yes, he had some battles. He had some difficult times. He had some low times. He had some times where he had very little strength, where he couldn't run, but he kept moving forward. He kept walking forward. He didn't fall back. He didn't try to negotiate with the enemy. He didn't hang around and listen to all their woeful stories. Oh no, you can't make it. But oh yes, dear ones, with God, all things are possible. To know that there's nothing, we've been hearing so many things in this meeting about the power of God and how He can deliver us. We heard this morning talking about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. But just to think, folks, that when we get to the end of the way, and as Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight, which includes some running for our lives. And we get to that other side. And we start listening and sharing the other stories. And perhaps there were many that felt like that little rabbit. That we were just about a little meal for the enemy of our souls. But Jesus came on the scene and He made a difference. And you consider these little thoughts here this morning. I want us all to make it to heaven, folks. I look out over the crowd here this morning. There's not a one of you that I want to see caught by the enemy, that I want to see destroyed, that I want to see in the clutches of the enemy and being carried off a different direction. Knowing that there was a possibility, there was an opportunity to run for our lives and to run to the Lord for safety. And to draw ourselves close to the Lord and submit ourselves to Him and Him to impart to us the wisdom to know how to handle those things. But no, if you just don't go there, just don't be around that person. Just don't go over there. Don't look at those things. Don't listen to those things. It's danger, dear ones. And to run for our lives. And to realize that we get to that other side. It's home. We're safe. When I made it back to my house and I stood up there on the porch and I'm looking back down the road, I'm thinking, whew, I made it. And just to think, folks, when we make it to the other side and we're rejoicing with the saints of God, chanting round the throne, singing the praises of God, and to think, whew, thank the Lord, I made it home. And it wasn't through laziness. It wasn't through slothfulness. It wasn't through negligence. It was the persevering. It was the enduring. It was the pressing toward the mark. It was the running for our lives, knowing that life, eternal life, I must have it. Let's all do that this morning. Some will be leaving soon. You go back home to your normal environments of life, school, job, home. You can keep this in your heart. You may not sometimes physically be able to run for your life, but you can do it in your heart. You can make up your mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. He's going to be number one in my life. And all these other things are going to have to take a back seat because I'm desperate to make it to heaven. You pray for me, I'll be faithful to the Lord.